Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Lift his spirit and alert his word, test all things and hold to what pleases the Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us to do that right now and in our lives this week. To make us alert to your word, to hear just what you want to teach us by your spirit among us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you take a seat? And we just learned from that drama that Jonathan was backing his friend, God's true king. And to help us to think a bit more about that story, let me read a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 20. This is just a couple of chapters on, and it's on the screen for us to follow. So Jonathan said to David, I promise this before the Lord, the God of Israel. At this same time, the day after tomorrow, I will find out how my father feels. If he feels good towards you, I'll send word to you. I'll let you know. But if my father may mean to hurt you, if so, I will let you know and send you away to safety. May the Lord punish me terribly if I don't do this. And may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me the kindness of the Lord as long as I live. Do this so that I may not die. You must not stop showing kindness to my family. Don't do this, even when the Lord has destroyed all your enemies from the earth. So Jonathan made an agreement with David. He said, may the Lord punish David's enemies. And Jonathan asked David to repeat his promise of love for him. He did this because he loved David as much as he loved himself. Now, I wonder if you noticed that is a two-way promise, the kind of a promise that the Bible speaks of as a covenant, a two-way promise. It's Jonathan's promise to find out if his father Saul wants to hurt David so that he can let him go if he does, to keep him safe. And David also repeats his promise to Jonathan that when he becomes king, he will keep him safe. He won't punish him for the sin of his father Saul. And, you know, as the story goes on in 1 Samuel, both Jonathan and David, they keep those promises, their covenant to one another. Jonathan warns David from the danger, he escapes. And later on, when David becomes king, he looks after Jonathan's family and his descendants all the way through the rest of his life. Instead of becoming David's enemy, like Jonathan's father, Saul, Jonathan becomes his friend. Maybe even his best friend, from the way the language describes it. I wonder, think about your closest friend this morning and how much you care about them. That is how much. That's the kind of friendship they enjoyed, Jonathan and David. And here's the truly amazing thing this morning. If we are followers of Jesus, then this friendship between David and Jonathan is like a little picture of our relationship with Jesus. Because he's God's eternal chosen king in David's line, King Jesus. And so King David's friendship with Jonathan is a bit like King Jesus' friendship with us. We see that here in our Bibles from the verses that I read, because we're told that David's love for his friend Jonathan is like, verse 14, the kindness of the Lord. It's like the kindness of the Lord. And so just listen to these words from our King Jesus in John chapter 15. He said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. Jonathan knew it was an amazing privilege to be friends with God's true king. And for us this morning, how much more the privilege, how much more the joy. Do you realize this morning, if you've trusted Jesus, that the very king of the universe, the Lord Jesus, is also your friend? So if you've trusted in him, he laid down his life for you. He died the death for you. And if you've asked for his forgiveness, then that's true of you this morning. And you know, sometimes I can forget this. Sometimes we can forget this. We can relate to Jesus as king, and he is, and we should. But we can forget that he's a king who at the same time is our friend. Our faithful friend, our loving friend. I wonder how many of us this morning are friends with King Charles. Anyone? No, I thought that would probably be answered. Wouldn't it have been really cool if someone had put up their hand at that moment? But how much cooler, eh? That you and me can all be friends with King Jesus, the King of Kings. Here's the thing, though. Being friends with God's true King, it's wonderful. It's a glorious privilege, but it's also costly. Jonathan knew that because that robe that wonderful robe that David went away wearing, and that sword that I gave to him, they were not any ordinary sword and robe. These are the sword and the robe of the heir to the throne. And so what Jonathan is doing when he gives these to David is that he's saying, look, I want you to be king next rather than me. He gives up his rights to the throne because he knows that God is choosing David instead. Jonathan gave up all of that for his friend, King David, God's true king. And so as we see that picture of Jonathan's friendship with David, again, it gives us a picture for us. And it helps us to ask this question this morning. What will we give up? What will you give up for your friend, King Jesus? What will you give up for him? See, since he's the very best friend imaginable, a friend with whom we're going to spend eternity in his presence, a friend who gives us life and purpose and peace in his spirit here and now, it means anything that we give up for him will be more than worth it. And so I just want to help us to think for the next couple of minutes, what do I need to give up for our friend King Jesus? Maybe you're a bit like me, and what you need to give up for King Jesus is comfort. It's comfort. I want to be a person who serves God faithfully, but if I'm honest, I want to do that without the costs. I'd love to serve God and have an easy life at the same time. And I wonder if that's the case for any of us. But faithful Christian service, Jesus says to us, it doesn't work like that. There are costs. For me, it's a great privilege to serve you here at Emmanuel, but there are costs as well. There are emotional demands. There are tricky situations to navigate. And some days I just love an easy life, frankly. And I wonder if that's the case for you. Wanting to be able to serve God, but wanting also to be comfortable. Maybe it's like that for you in some other aspect of your Christian service. Perhaps you're conscious. You've done really well financially and you do give. But if you're honest, in your heart of hearts, it doesn't really feel sacrificial giving. It doesn't really pinch at any point. You give what you can to sort of happily go on with the same standard of living. We feel that temptation. And I wonder, maybe for you this morning, is the willingness to give sacrificially to the gospel. Or maybe it's that you feel some kind of stirring in you to be involved in some kind of ministry. Maybe you've been thinking for a while, I know there's a need to help in the Rock. I'd love to help in the Rock or with the youth ministry. But you know, there are lots of reasons where you can think of for why that might not be you. And it might be that at some level, it's the cost of energy, of hard work, of emotionally being in one another's lives that's holding you back. It might even be that you feel a stirring to some kind of mission field, full-time ministry. Again, just the costs have held you back. Well, if any of those things are you, we would love to talk to you. Any member of the team, any member of the Global Mission Committee, take that next step. Because following Jesus, even when it costs, is always worth it. So it might be comfort that you and I need to give up. It might be something else. Others of us might need to give up being popular for our friend, King Jesus. If you are primary school age, I wonder if there are kids that you know of who often get picked on in the playground. And I wonder, what do you do when you see that happen? Do you just kind of go on and quietly play over there because you don't want to help them out? Or you're worried that if you do, you won't be popular. But wouldn't your friend King Jesus want you to stick up for that person? Wouldn't your friend King Jesus want you to be kind to them because that pleases him? Or maybe you're older than that and you're at school or uni or early days of the workplace, and part of you would love to share something of your faith with those around you, but every time the topic of what did you do on the weekend comes up, you just kind of avoid talking about Sunday. Might be you don't want to seem less popular. You don't want to be thought of as weird for saying something about your faith in Jesus. But you know, when it all seemed worth it, even to be thought of as weird, when we stand before Jesus, our glorious friend King Jesus, and see his smile when he comes back. Lastly, for some of us, the challenge might be to give up being successful for our friend King Jesus. Now, I know a number of you are going through this exams results season at the moment. We just had A-levels this week. I think GCSEs are coming up this week. And it might be that among us, there are also people who are sort of thinking, I need to make the next step on the career ladder. I need to change job, looking for something that pays better. Now, doing well in those things, faithfully using the gifts God has given you to serve him in those places, that is a good thing. That's a good thing to do, to honor him. But we know, don't we, there's a danger that lurks in those motivations as well. Because if we set all our store in those things and then we don't succeed, we can be crushed, can't we? See, if you didn't do as well in your exams this week, or you don't, as GCSEs come up, you know, that doesn't make you a failure. What the Lord Jesus cares about, what matters more to him, is that you tried your best. That you keep on loving those around you, rather than that you succeed at all costs. Or it matters more to your friend King Jesus that you serve him faithfully at work, that you show loving care to those around you, your colleagues, that you're present at home with your family and your friends, and then that you get that next promotion. Comfort, popularity, success. I wonder which of those it is for you. Maybe something else entirely that the Lord's laying on your heart to keep on giving up, to keep on handing back to him, to your friend, King Jesus. Eddie, if we can have those questions on the screen. As we close, we're going to pray in a moment, a prayer of confession for places where we need to bring our lives more into alignment with the Lord Jesus, our friend and King. But let me just read these questions, and it might be that one of them is for you this morning. What comfort do I need to give up for my friend, King Jesus? How can I care more about being loved by King Jesus than about being popular? How can I care more about being like my Savior, my King, my friend, than being successful? We're just going to have a pause, a short pause to think about those things. And then Judith is going to come and lead us in confession.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.